good versus evil. Well, that's a big battle that has been there for ages and ages. It's going to come to an end. We don't know. Now, this is Book Talk, and I'm your host, Anthony Moirore. Today we have a book that we are going to cover. The book is known as Cloven Weave. And as you know, at Book Talk, we get the author to come and tell us about the book. And so today we have the author of the book, Cloven Weave, who's known as Joseph. And he's going to be here to tell us more about himself and about his book. If you're ready, let's go and meet Joseph together. Here we go. Hello, Joseph.
Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
I am doing well. I am on the green side of the sod and very happy.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we are glad that you've come to Book Talk to tell us about a book.
Well, the book is an expanded journal of my life.
Yeah.
I've always liked writing.
Okay.
And I've worn many hats in my life, and I've worn them all well. If you want to know what I've been into, I have been everything from homeless to a professor of anthropology at Case Western Reserve University. And got my master's degree at Arizona State University. I quit school my sophomore year.
Okay.
I had enough, and I was already by then a master mason, stonemason, because my father was a stonemason.
Okay.
And I found creating something like building was much more interesting than going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And besides which, it allowed me to become an independent human being, making my own money, making my own decisions.
Okay.
And I can remember making enough money as a stonemason to buy my first home at 19 years of age for $7,500.
Mm. How long and ago was that?
40, 50 years ago. Whoa. Quite a while ago.
Yeah, that's quite a while. That's quite a while.
Yes, it is. Yes,
uh-huh.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought my first brand new car right off the showroom floor for $1,700, a new Chevrolet pickup.
Mm.
And from there, I've done just about everything. I've worked as a hospital orderly. Because my first few years in school were pre-med. That was at Flagstaff,
mm-hmm,
College, Arizona State College, it was called, not the University of Northern Arizona. And the program was precisely either Those 2 years were devoted to pre-med or pre-forestry, the exact same one, except that one was dealing with human beings and the other was dealing with trees, which was much easier.
Okay.
You know, human being is so complex that we change just every moment. We are in a different place and a different time.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at the same, I can go in my backyard and what I see there, every time I look, is something different.
Mm.
It's just like you can never step in the same river twice.
Yeah.
Once you step out, it keeps going. You step back in, but it's not the same anymore.
It's a different one altogether.
It's a different one altogether because time and tide has passed during that that short stepping out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen so many changes in 80 years. For instance, right now, I am so ignorant in electronics that I don't even know the lingo. I don't know what a podcast is. I don't know what it. I know the difference between a terabyte and a byte and a this, that, and the other.
Mm.
Now, my first computer, when I was in getting my doctorate, was called the Kai Corporation at Case Western Reserve. And it was three stories high.
Wow.
And we had to go in the evenings and punch in punch cards of what we were, you know, the question we were asking the computer.
Mm.
And it would work on these questions if you didn't have a hanging chad in one of the cards. In the mornings, I would come and pick up a, looked like a stack of newspapers of that paper, and that was, those were my answers.
Mm.
I spent a lot of time on that and in the libraries. It's one of the better.
Did you just say you went in the computer?
Yes, you walked into the building.
Wow.
It was three stories high.
Yes.
And the middle story was where they had all of these, they looked like big typewriters.
Okay.
And you brought your material and you filled out these punch cards.
Mm-hmm.
The first ones being identification and description of what your question was, is, and it may sometimes a mathematical comparison of data that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it was just, you know, filling me in on what was known at that time anywhere in the world concerning that which I was after.
Okay.
At one time I was in I was studying teeth, the evolutionary of the human tooth.
Okay.
And that was the basis of my dissertation. As a professional, I gave talks in talks to the general scientific community at talks once a year, once in Denver and New Orleans and San Francisco, maybe a few other places.
Okay.
And I would have, there weren't large audiences because there were people coming from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have a conversation we would have conversations about our work.
Okay.
And, you know, anything that we could put into the common pot for all of the anthropologists studying teeth at the time was, and I had papers to back these up. They would ask me questions. They would ask me for a copy of my paper, and I would send them one. And I was in contact with three of the finest dental anthropologists in the world at the time. One was a Russian, a Mr. I can't remember what he was, but anyway, I was in journals in China, Japan, and the United States, and of course rubbed elbows with all of the other anthropologists of the time, like I don't know whether anybody can remember Margaret Mead.
Could just be someone who was from that time. Who is from that time?
From that time, yes. She was probably one of the most famous anthropologists in the world at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, of course, she's fallen to a state of ungrace for some of her practices. She would lead her informants with the wrong type of question to get the answers that she wanted. Papers was I was gave the paper in Mexico City. And for reason I had so I could not find my best even though we were personal friends, because I got into school late.
Okay.
Because in the interim, you know, I was a mason. I built things. And so I'm making money and living, just living the life. And I enjoyed that very much. And I can't put into words I should be. When I tell you that I've done this and I've done that, you would, if you could total it up, you would be thinking perhaps I was 230 years old. But you know, these were just short stints, one place or another, in everything from shipping and receiving in a company to menswear to tires to explosives to guns to everything. And this was in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Wow. And I agree that 80 years is not a short time to have experienced all those things that you've experienced.
This is true. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
I never got fired from anything, and I didn't quit. I just said I'm here for the experience, and I will do my very best. And I would do that, then would move on. So, and I'm interested in everything. I am curious about everything. When I was, you know, in at Case Western, I took, I met my second wife. Mm-hmm. Her name is Donna. I met her. She was taking one of the perks to going to a great private university is that you have the privilege of working with, at that time, I was working with the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
And I could take courses, any medical courses. And she and I had both taken gross anatomy, which is the dissection of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
At the medical school. We took it two times.
Mm.
One on a woman and the other on a man.
Okay.
And not too many doctors were interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we were by ourselves, and our professor of anatomy,
mm-hmm.
who was just a wonderful man. And he would use our autopsies as examples of how it should be done, because we were there because we wanted to be.
Okay.
While everybody else was learning, you know, how to start up a business, how to start up a, you know, with a clinic or some other, with a hospital or with a cadre of doctors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed it. We've enjoyed every moment.
Now, these kind of stories that you tell, they are some of the stories that you share in your book.
Yes, many of them are my direct recollections of things I have been and where I've been.
Cloven Wheel, by Joseph Francis Katich.
That's right. And it shows, it's one of my designs, by the way, because I'm also an artist.
Okay. It looks good.
And the left side, of course, is evil.
Mm-hmm.
The right side with the blue eye is the good side. And as you see, the top of the head goes into, it's the bigger part,
yeah,
of between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But evil is a necessary function of being a human being.
Mm.
So we've got, I wrote this in terms of made me very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pass on things that I thought were interesting to people in the real world. Many of the characters in there are people that I knew and loved me. My family, by the way, on the Croatian side.
Okay.
Did not, my birth was a terrible thing to happen to both families.
Why?
Because I had disgraced, you know, the Mexican side and the Croatian side.
Okay.
So I've been, you know, I can't express how dysfunctional my family life was.
Hmm.
But anyway, I decided even at an early age, I would never, never treat another human being like I had been treated, that I was being treated.
Has that got anything to do with why you gave it the subtitle of A Journey into Madness, or how did that subtitle come
about? No, it started. That's a thing. I thought about that because I had two friends.
Okay.
When I was a youngster, very young,
mm-hmm.
you know, 8 or 9. One of them was a Greek Orthodox priest, a Father Mirko, who ended up in Los Angeles as the head bishop there of the Greek church.
Okay.
And another one, a defrocked Jesuit priest who built the St. Mary's Hospital during World War II when he was ordered not to by the Vatican themselves.
Okay.
So he was defrocked because of that. Mm. Both of those people were they treated me like a human being,
mm-hmm.
not like a little child. I asked them questions. They were able to, in their wisdom, to impart, you know, what I am today mm-hmm. and the way I do live my life. Because I believe it is not what people say, it is what they do that defines them.
That's a good one.
That's sort of the bottom line.
Mm.
I believe in a creator.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in evolution. I believe evolution is a part of creation, and I think to put God in a position to where he had to be a magician and make things appear, this entity that holds the cosmos together and mm-hmm. our bodies together
mm-hmm.
is far beyond we will ever understand.
I agree.
It's just too much. You know, I pick out once in a while, I think, well, what is a thought? Does it have mass? Does it have weight? Does it have, you know, is it just electrical pulses? Because they remain forever.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start a vibration, even though, you know, you throw a pebble in a pond and the ripples go out and out and out and out and they never stop.
Yeah.
Even though the water's gone, that movement still goes on. So it's like everything that we type today. Every type, you know, is getting stored somewhere in the electronic world. It's a marvel.
Yeah, and that's what I discovered, that even if, for example, I have a website and everything from my website disappears, I can still retrace my website from last year how it was.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way it is, and that's the way we are. And I am not a healthy person at all now. You know, at 84, I have congestive heart failure. I control diabetes with diet. I know that I was put on insulin, and I did some, did my research and found out that all I had to do was cut down on my carbohydrates. Because
mm-hmm.
once a carbohydrate enters your mouth, it gets hit with an enzyme, ptyalin, and that starts the digestive process.
Mm.
And that's why you can eat a salt cracker and it tastes sweet.
Mm.
You know, if you pay attention to that. So I've been able to combat my diabetes with diet. I didn't start soon enough. So at the beginning, when I was going into coma and discovered that I had diabetes, that this is what I would have to do. So anyway, diabetes we took care of.
How long have you managed it that way?
Since the very beginning.
About how many years?
40 years.
40 years. Just managing diabetes through diet.
2 years. Yes, through diet only. And that change only, that was specifically just cutting down on the carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a great meat eater. I've worked in slaughterhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've worked in a slaughterhouse, meat doesn't taste that good anymore. When they, you know, they take a living animal and you see it killed, and then you see it, sometimes they're hung on their hind feet before they even get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try very much to be a vegan.
Okay.
So, but I have nothing wrong with, I mean, man has been, is an omnivore, or he wouldn't have survived.
Mm.
So, you know, you
have to... Let me ask you, is part of that story in the book too, of how you've been surviving this way, is it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Whoa.
I covered some of, many of these things are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Much of my my character is built on actual experimentation with life. I'm not afraid to take chances on anything. I listen to everyone. Yeah. I am a great listener. And I don't care who it is I talk to, I always learn something from them just by keeping myself silent. You know, there's this old saying, you know, it's better to be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt.
That's a good one. And someone also said that the reason that we are given 2 ears and 1 mouth is that we should listen more than we talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because everyone has something, knows something that you would never know.
Everyone.
But when you listen, really listen to them, it's awesome. I have met some of the, you know, the greatest people I know of come from a, my wife and I even, we picked fruit with fruit pickers and right. lived in Oregon, with Mexican, workers. We lived in their conditions, which were, I can't imagine, or I can't describe the squalor that they live in and how they are treated.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know because I've been there. And I just like knowing things. And when I know them, I go after them. And it's that interesting to me.
Yeah, and that's why I saw that line below. It says, do everything you attempt in life with gusto, compassion, and no regrets. Tell us.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
We have the capacity to make decisions. This is one of the things that we were given,
mm-hmm.
is the capacity to make decisions.
Yeah.
How to make decisions. Not which ones, but how to because actually we operate primarily from the ancient brainstem, the amygdala,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which pumps, it gives you the power of fight or flight.
Yeah.
And does not go through the forebrain at all. All it does is pump enzymes and things into your bloodstream, adrenaline mm-hmm. primarily, which is very hard to control. It gives people the, you know, strength that of maybe 20 times their regular strength.
Mm-hmm.
They can lift cars off of people. They can do things that are unbelievable. They can also turn it to evil or bad, and you turn out being a serial killer or a serial, you know, something bad, or you were allowed free thought to make that decision.
Mm.
And my answer to that is, when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Take it.
That's right. Take yeah. it.
So much wisdom you shared with us in this episode. And that makes us even more eager to go and find out what is it that we have not heard here, because just from what you've shared here, I know there's so much more in the book. That's why we should go and get the book. Everybody who's listening, go get the book.
Well, they gave me when the first publication came out, it was with Universal Press, and they did some things that were just terrible.
Which?
When I first published this book,
mm-hmm.
I made a total of $1.78. And it cost me probably $15,000 to get it published.
Wow.
At the time.
Wow.
I sent the copy of this to Meredith. Some fellow named Meredith. He was one of the better editors
mm-hmm.
of books. And instead of the normal rejection notice you get, I'm sorry, we can't, because most authors get refused maybe hundreds of times.
Yeah.
That the creeps. This man, his name was James Meredith, I think. He was one of the better reviewers in okay. the United States. I paid him money to do this.
Yeah.
He sent me 4 pages. Of how bad my book was. And I said, my God, I did it. I hit a nerve with this man. I made him so angry, made him think that he took the time to unload his angst on me. And I knew, by golly, if I can make somebody like that get a reaction like that, instead of we just can't we can't publish your material at the time, he gave me the 4 pages are absolute, they're nonsense. He was so mad, he didn't even pass the forebrain. He was operating on sheer, you know, he wanted to kill me, is what he wanted to do. We didn't even know each other. I said, okay, when I can get something like that, I mean, I touched some nerves in that man that had never been touched before.
Mm-hmm.
And because he answered no questions straightforward, it was just... It is like he picked up, you know, something off the sidewalk and read it, and then sent me that I had written it. I don't know. But anyway, life, and I've written, since I'm a journalist and I keep a journal, a series of journals of my thoughts for the day, what I've done, what I want to do, how I feel, you know, the things are going, you know, the politics of the world, the economy, the sheer madness of starvation and what man has done to man. Everything from Holocaust. Holocausts have been in style since at least the Crusades.
Mm.
The Crusades, from my research on them, it was started by the Vatican against the Jewish peoples of the world.
Okay.
That was the first. That was the first one. If you were, if some kind of a not or white, if you were not, you had no. It was a race that they were building of all white and so on and so forth with this. They were going to build a perfect world. Had that happened, of course, we would have destroyed ourselves much earlier. But the way things are going now, I see, just by looking and listening, the behaviors of the people around me, that you know, it's not a calm, gentle place it was when I was a youngster. We knew nothing about. We had no break-ins in houses, and we had didn't have to have guns and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
Now I, you know, it's almost a sin not to have one. So anyway.
So this is very good, and thank you for everything that you've shared with us. Actually, our time is over. But we feel just to keep on listening to what you're saying, and this is the reason that we should go and get the book to get what it is that you have not said.
Well, what they have not seen is the other. It was written as a trilogy.
Okay.
It starts out. The other books are, I add to them, but anyway, this is Cloven Weave at its very beginning. You know, at the dawn of man.
Yeah.
And the third book is Cloven Weave, you know, 25,000 years from now.
Okay.
That would have completed, you know, my trilogy, but of course that's not going to happen. But anyway, I'm sorry to take too much time, but
No, you don't have to be sorry. We are loving this every minute.
Because once you get me started, you wind me up, and you have to shut me down. So anyway, I've enjoyed this very much and felt very comfortable.
Me too. And I believe every person who's been listening has really enjoyed it.
I hope so.
So for those who may have joined as we have been going on, this has been Joseph F. Katich as we talk about his book, Cloven Weave, A Journey into Madness. And the link to the book is in the description. So go get the book and read it and share it with your friends.
Yes, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
It will get you excited in places, And it's meant to. It's meant to get your juices flowing, to want to know more.
Yeah. So, that's about it for the rest. And how many? How can? But anyway, they will find out how to reach out to you once they check out their book.
Well, thank you so much for this. Yeah. I enjoyed it directly.
I'm happy that you enjoyed, and keep on shining, because you are shining bright.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. And your presentation is exemplary.
Wow, thank you.
You made me feel very, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And excited.
Yeah.
I think we did the right thing, and I thank you so much for this interview.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And we've really enjoyed. This has been Book Talk. I have been your host, Anthony Moirori, and our guest today had been Joseph F. Katich. And we thank you for being with us, all of you.
I thank you all for listening.
That's about it. And now we say bye for now.
Au revoir.
Adios.
Vaya con Dios.
By the way, they didn't know that you speak so many languages, but that's an episode for another day. So,
Zai Jian in Chinese.
Yeah, bye.
Good.